Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you. They protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. The most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Rick Spain, and his title is The Builder. Back to you.
Back to me. Okay. So we realize we're having some technical issues this morning, and we apologize for that. Hopefully that the Spirit of God will shine through in all this, because what's being said this morning is something that we need to be aware of. We need to know what's going on. We need to recognize the attacks that the enemy's bringing. So, you know, in all this, I want us to understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I know you've heard this before, but if we don't recognize the spirit behind this, then what we're doing is we are picking the fruit and not dealing with the root. And so getting back to what we were talking about, what makes Lucifer's system work, you know, the only thing for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing, you know. And so then we were in the thought of church and the COVID and the awakening. There was an awakening. I mean, a lot of people, eyes were opened up, and we were ignited, we were on fire, and we were wanting to do something about this. You know, and I still see a remnant, pretty good remnant of people that are still pretty involved. But, you know, I've always, it seems like that the Lord has given me that ability, I guess you call it discernment, on the condition of the church. And so when I'm looking at the church today, you know, and this is after COVID, after we had this awakening. And so what am I seeing now? I'm seeing us falling back into the same place that we were awakened out of. We're going back to sleep, guys. That's what's happening. You know, and so what's going on? Well, it's like the tactic that brought us to where we were before. You know what? We got work, we got family, we got to focus on all this stuff. And I'm not saying you don't focus on it, But what I am saying is don't allow this to blind you from what's going on around you. You know, and this is so important. So Charles Bukowski said, you begin saving the world by saving one person at a time. All else is grandiose romanticism or politics. You know, if we think that we're going to change this world by screaming out, this is wrong, you're wrong. I mean, we're going to have to get down in the trenches, get a little bit dirty. You know, we're going to offend people. We're going to say things that may put us in a negative light. We do things that put us in a negative light. You know what? If we don't do it, our country's doomed. I'm just telling you. Why is our country in the condition it's in? It's because of the church. You know, and so now, you know, you have church events. So we've got Sunday morning, and, you know, we got a pretty good crowd that's coming on Sunday morning. You know, thank God for that. That's increased. COVID brought more people in. You know, but you have a special event, a special speaker. You know, if you do a Sunday night, how many people are going to show up? I guarantee you not even half. Not even half those that are on Sunday morning. What's the deal here? COVID woke us up, and now we're falling back to where we were. Well, I know, you know, I don't need to be there, but yeah, I got this to do. I got a kids program I got to do. You know, I mean, used to, we wouldn't have kids programs on Sunday night or sport events or Wednesday night. You know, and so this is another thing. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute because I see the effects of the transformation of the church and how the church operates. So we see this in a national level. It's not just your church. It's not just my church. It seems to be all the churches. So used to, in the past, we would have Sunday morning, then we'd have Sunday night, then we have Wednesday night, and then probably a women's group or prayer group. You know, we had these infiltrated throughout the week. You know, and so now what do we have? Sunday morning. And, you know, so we've got some leaders in the church that have said, well, we need to get small groups together, you know, and so cell groups and discipleship groups and whatever term you want to put on that. So I've watched this too. You know, I've watched how the church has succeeded and has declined. And so small groups, not a bad idea. And, you know, when they start, generally you have a decent group. But as time goes on, that dwindles too. You know, and so why do you change, fix something that wasn't broken? Why? Why were these changes initiated? Agenda? Well, yeah, there's an underlying agenda, but there's reasons why. Well, you know what? The world's really busy now. You know, and so we're going to give the people in the church more opportunity to spend time with family. That was one of the things, you know, you need to spend time with your family. Yeah. Okay, we can spend time with our family and we can watch TV together. That's a good idea. Yeah, so what are we seeing on TV? Oh, man, you know, we're not having Bible studies spending time with our family, folks. Now, some may be a few, but that's not what happened. So what it did is it devalued the church and discipleship. Now, what was Jesus' great commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. This is where the problem is. The problem is not in what God built. What God built is perfect. He gave us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. What are we doing with it? It reminds me of the old saying, buy them books, send them to school, and what do? Burn the books.
Eat the pages.
Whatever you want to put in there. So he's given us everything we need. What are we doing with it? Well, we're putting it over here on a shelf and where everybody can see. We got our little God thing over here. And so especially on Sunday morning, we got our God thing. We got to show everybody, we got God in our life. You got God in your life and your world's falling down around you. That's needs to be said. So how do you begin saving the world? One person at a time. One person at a time. It's interesting because I was talking with a fella last night. The Lord was inspiring me to go talk to him. And, just speaking words of encouragement. Because he's not a leader in a church. He's not a person that has a whole lot of money or fame or anything. He's just an everyday guy. But you know what? I've watched the guy work for me at one time, and he's been a friend of mine for decades. And I've just seen the effect he has around him. And it's not like he's out preaching the Bible to everybody. Matter of fact, a lot of his conversation, it may not mention God, but it's all seasoned with God. And I just told him, I said, the Lord wants me to tell you what a great impact you're making. He does. He makes an impact. And his impact isn't on the multitudes. It's on the people he comes in contact with. And that's the key. The people that you come in contact with, what kind of an impact are you having on their lives? That's what we got to recognize. I got a couple of thoughts here, a couple of Bill Johnson thoughts here. We know that we can do nothing without God. We've learned that we can do nothing with God. Wow. It's interesting. Over in Mark chapter 6, it talks about Jesus going back to his home place. He made the comment, he said, because people weren't listening. They said, isn't this Joseph the carpenter's son? Don't we know his brothers and his sister? Whatever. And Jesus made the comment. He said, no prophet is honored in their hometown. And it goes on to say that he couldn't do many miracles there. And he marveled at their unbelief. I was wondering if we was going to go back to this, and we are. Over in Hebrews chapter 3, I want us to look at this. I'm going to leave it right here, so pardon me on the camera. But this is where we got our text. Every house is built by someone. The builder of all things is God. Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to our confidence. So then it goes on to say, verse 7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And what happened? They hardened their hearts, and because of that, they didn't inherit the promise, which was to go in the promised land. They did not inherit it. So, going on down in verse 9, it says, where your fathers tested me, tried me by testing me. Let me find another spot. It's talks about how. Sorry, let me look here. Yeah, okay. So in verse 9 it says, "Tried me by testing me. They saw my works for 40 years." 40 years, they saw my works, miracles, things that were physically impossible, parting Red Sea, hitting a rock and water gushing out of it, you know, just things, the manna, all these things they were witnesses of. So in verse 10, it says, therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always do astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. So in my wrath, I said, they shall not enter my rest. What kept them from entering the rest of God? It was their hardened hearts. But because what caused them to harden their hearts was they did not recognize God's ways. They didn't recognize his ways. This is the problem with the church today. We see the acts of God, but we're not understanding the ways of God. And therefore, we're always praying for God to act. God, do this. God, do that. You know, I got a problem. You know, I need your hand, your sovereign hand to work in this situation. We can pray our holy prayers with our holy words and say, Lord, smite the evil or whatever, you know. So, but we're not recognizing how God does it. God is the builder of all things. He is the builder of all things. And so, I want us to understand that the condition of this world, is it affecting the kingdom of God? That's a question. Is the condition of this world affecting the kingdom of heaven? Absolutely not. Not one bit. Not one bit. Is it affecting God's people? Absolutely. So if we understand his ways, we can operate. See, Jesus, he continually talked about one thing. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, principles. This is how it works. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. And so if we would get in there and start recognizing, okay, this is how it works. Everything works by seed. That's the first thing. Jesus said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand anything else. So it works by seed. So what we do is what is the seed? The Word of God. The Word of God. So what do? You plant the Word of God in your heart. Now, does it start bearing fruit right then? No. Nope. It takes time. It takes challenges. And see, what's happening now is we are being challenged. And if we don't have the Word of God in us, that challenge is going to get us either in a straightforward way or in the back doorway. One or the other. It's going to get you. But when you have the Word of God in you, this is how God built everything, by his Word. The seed of the Word of God. So, you know, when we're looking at building, God building everything. And you, what I want us to understand is if we don't see this on the individual level, then we're missing it. Everything you've gone through, everything you've encountered, whether good or whether bad, God is using that for a building block to build his kingdom in you. And when the kingdom in you is built, then it doesn't matter what the opposing forces are bringing. It's going to be like water on a duck's back. Southern term, I know, but the water does not stay on the duck. It's got that coating on it. Slides right off. And so this is the point where we need to get to. If we're going to affect the condition of our world, we got to affect the condition of our heart. It's Romans 12, it says Romans 12. Let's go over there real quick. I know it, but I always have trouble remembering how it starts. Romans 12:1, it says, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices indeed unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship, which is acceptable before him. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I want us to understand where the mind is. Because we think the mind is on top of our shoulders. It's not. The mind is in your heart. The brain helps, but the mind's in your heart, folks. That's where it is. And so when we can get it from our head into our heart, that's when we know it. If we just have it in our head, it's just more useless information, folks. If it's not being used, you know what that means? Useless. Yeah. And so when we get it in our heart, it becomes a part of who we are. That's the kingdom. And so don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Use the information in your head. Get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. So then you will not just be hearers of God's word. You'll be doers of it. God has built a perfect, perfect creation. Is creation perfect now? No, it's not. But it's not because his building is not perfect. All we have to do is just reconnect to him. When we connect to him and his how he builds, start understanding his ways. If something bad happens in your life, a lot of times we say, well, you know what, it's just one of those things. And we might ask God, well, Lord, why'd you let this happen? And then we go off depressed and whatever. And we really don't seek the answer to why did this happen. I'm really fed up over my head with the answer being the sovereignty of God. Well, he's God and he can do what he wants. Well, I'm going to tell you, he doesn't do what he wants. He does what he says. Now, does he want to do what he says? Yes. But the want doesn't become before the say. And see, we as human beings, a lot of times our want goes ahead of our say. God never, never, ever will he do that. He does what he says. And so in a roundabout way, yes, he's doing what he wants, but it's not before what he says. And so, the understanding of God's ways, a lot of times, you just don't see it on the surface. If you want to know God's ways, it's one of those things you got to dig. But I'm a firm believer, and you can quote me on this, that if you have a question and you're persistent enough before God, you will get the answer. But if you have a question and you want a quick answer, good luck. Because his ways are way higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But does that mean they're above comprehension? Absolutely not. We just got to raise the level of our thinking to his level. And, you know, only he can do that. I know I'm getting into some deeper stuff here, you guys, but these easy answers, it's not working. And if we don't renew ourselves, renew our minds to what God says, get it in our hearts, make it a part of our lives, I promise you, when we do that, our world will change. Absolute guarantee. Guarantee. You know, because what God says works every time. Does it work? Now, another thing Bill Johnson says, that God will never go against what he says. Never. But he's more than comfortable to go against your interpretation of what he says. And so a lot of times we're looking for easy, quick answers. I got a problem. Oh, wow. Look what the Bible says. God's word. He does what he says. I'm taking hold of that. You know, well, a lot of times we're looking for a quick answer. It's not a quick answer. And we try to apply his word as a quick solution. It's not a quick solution. Now, there are some things that are, you know, you can take God's word. If the devil's coming against you, what do? You resist him, rebuke him. And what's going to happen? He's going to run away. That's instant. But a lot of things in process in life are not instant. And where we are now, we have allowed ourselves to get to this point. And so, you know, if we want to get back in what God built, we got to start understanding the way he does it. How does he build? If you want to know more about this, go to the Thomas Tribune. And this is something I'm going to write about next week. But, you know, how he actually builds, you know. And so I'm just going to go through this. I know we're out of time here, but the one thing I want you to understand, that in the reformation of the people to God, in that reformation, the building material that God uses is found in one source, and that's Jesus. Jesus. You know, there's no other building material he's going to use. I don't care how smart you are, how talented you are, how much standing you have in life, he's not building his kingdom on you. Now, you can be a part of that building process, but it's all Jesus. It's all in Christ. And so, as we allow him to build us, to restore us, and in that restoration, we are growing closer and coming to know him better. And it's all about relationship. All about relationship. I'm going to close with this thought. Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. The common thought is, well, Jesus is always up there talking to God on our behalf. That truly delegitimizes what Jesus paid. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you that Jesus doesn't have to say anything to be our intercessor. He doesn't. Because if you understand what an intercessor is, it is the plus between two numbers. 10 plus 10 equals 20. It is that plus. It is the middle. It is the part that is necessary to achieve the final answer. And the final answer is restored relationship with God. He doesn't have to say anything because what he did says everything. Mm-hmm. So it's his sacrifice. And that is really, we need another hour. We need another hour to get into this. But what I want us to understand is, yes, our world's in not a very good condition. If you fight your battles like everybody else does, you know what? You're going to get the same results. Mm-hmm. If you use the world's technique, you're going to get the world's answers. Mm-hmm. Let's start using God's techniques. Start finding out, how do you do it, Lord God? How do you do it? Not necessarily, you know, getting out there and just, you know, I've had guys work for me that will get out there and get dirty and think they've done something, but you go behind them, they hadn't done anything. You know, and that's what we're doing now, folks. We're out there getting dirty, but are we accomplishing anything? We got a purpose. Mm-hmm. We got a purpose to establish God's kingdom on this earth. As long as we're here, the kingdom should be in operation. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father. I pray, Lord God, a lot of words were spoken. I pray, Lord God, that you help us to grab a hold of, to encompass these things that have been spoken, Lord God, to be restored in an understanding, not just of you, but how you do. Lord God, that we might have an effect on our world. The enemy's raised his ugly head, Lord God, but like a flood, you've raised a standard against him. I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good word. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again, the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, from my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our brother in Christ, Rick Spain. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Don't forget, stay tuned for the Truth broadcast.
Hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. You would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Truth Broadcast.